Dear Miss Griffin. From Antelius. Name. First name. Rachel. Middle name. Lee. Last name. Griffin. Birth information. Age. 38. Birth date. September 1984. Known aliases. Rachel L. Griffin. Jobs. Company, industry. Cheddar Hamrick Sulzer PC, law practice. Job title. Associate attorney. Dates. January 1, 2014, dash, January 27, 2022. Company, industry, Colorado State Public Defender. Job title. Deputy State Public Defender. Dates. January 1, 2014. Company, industry, Public Defenders. Job title. Student Practice Attorney. Dates. January 1, 2014. Company, industry, Colorado State Public Defender. Job title. Certified Legal Intern. Dates. January 1, 2014. __ Ref. Case number 16C70106. Pillar Property, / Cheney Klein John Apartments versus James Martin Driscoll. It would be in our shared best interest if you please read this correspondence to the end. I have caught myself in a very touchy situation, and if I must resort to filing a lawsuit, parties involved in my Denver gang stalking experiences, including your client Daryl Johnson and off-direct representative party Colorado Health Network, in particular as Angela Keady among others, will be called as defendants. I am not interested in getting people into trouble for the wrongdoing. What I'm seriously needing is several documents published at the National Institutes of Health Library to be incorporated into my medical doctor provider care and case management via AIDS service organizations. I believe there is enough people in trouble already. But not enough to stop killing me. Literally killing me. I have not been able to obtain adequate HIV doctor provider treatment since my last doctor terminated our doctor, / patient relationship based on the subjects that I need to bring forward now known as being a targeted individual of gang stalking. The 11-month hate and harassment campaign ties to Chesney Klein John Apartments was filed in my eviction answer. I guarantee you, Ms. Griffin, I am dying from HIV lack of treatment standards, and I am seriously needing assurance immediately placed into my life. If no one steps forward to help me fulfill the research findings recommendations immediately, there is going to be a filing of a discrimination case of the century. Statute of limitations does not apply to United States Code Title 18, Section 242, deprivation of rights under color of law. Should I die? State punishments of the death penalty to who those are guilty of this conspiracy is afforded as remedy should I die in violation of my rights. Yes, you heard that correctly. Web, link, https://www.justice.gov/court/deprivation-rights-under-color-law-sign-text=%20242%20%20title%2018/%20%20 Deprivation of rights under color of law. Summary. Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under color of law include acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority, if the acts are done while the official is purporting to or pretending to act in the performance of his, / her official duties. Persons acting under color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prisons, guards and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus toward their race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status or national origin of the victim. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term, or the death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime, and the resulting injury, if any. Title 18, Us. C, Section 242. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year, or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title, or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. Line of underscores. Here is my recent entry for Google reviews of Foothill AIDS Project. Even though it does not become fully public, I know it sits there waiting for a response, not suicide for this wrongdoing. Line of underscores. Google reviews. Note, Foothill AIDS Project San Bernardino has taken ownership of the business site listing and has started responding to reviews. Will my review be left unaddressed? By default then, they are guilty of a conspiracy they cannot respond to. Review begins. There is no such thing as a lifetime ban from services. I have tried to reach out several times and not one of your staff members will return my calls left on voicemail. How come? I shouldn't be banned from services in the first place. Here is discussion points from the National Institutes of Health Library. This paper is one of two which mentions specifically quote clinicians end quote. The National Institutes of Health Library article title and URL follows below. These results have the potential to inform clinicians interacting with patients who experience persecutory belief systems. Building a therapeutic relationship to enable engagement is the central process in therapy for psychosis. 40. Having a detailed understanding of the belief systems held by people affected by persecutory belief systems may be important in developing empathy and building a therapeutic alliance. Cognitive behavioral approaches to the treatment of persecutory belief systems recommend that clinicians partner with patients to critically evaluate and dispute delusional and other unhelpful beliefs. Doing so requires a detailed understanding of the beliefs and evidence for and against them. Our hope is that this study may be helpful in that regard. How does Foothill AIDS Project fall in view of this quoted passage is up to Fatou Omthir's role in this as well. Dr. Shigino of Borrego Health most likely committed suicide rather than having a discussion about these subjects with me. He died less than 2 weeks after I violated the restraining order that he and you all used to cover up the ability to have an open honest discussion. Ms. Griffin, you know as well as I know that Borrego Health is just the tip of the iceberg. And I find out, web, link, https://www.samdiegaonion.com/news/watchdog/story/2021-10-18/in-wake-of-FBI-raid-borrego-health-files-fraud-lawsuit-against- long time, dash, landlord. Web, link, https://www.bekershospitalreview.com/finance/from-and-fbi-raid-2-bankruptcy-a-timeline-of-borrego-health-s-troubles.html. October 20, 2020, state and federal agents raid the offices of Borrego Health, Borrego Springs, California, dash, based federally qualified health center. Dozens of agents seize computers and medical records and interview employees at three Borrego Health locations. Agents also search the headquarters of Premier Healthcare Management, which provides billing and other management services to Borrego Health. From an FBI raid to bankruptcy, a timeline of Borrego Health's troubles. Andrew Cass, dash, Wednesday, September 14, 2022. The Borrego Community Health Foundation filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy after receiving a notification from the California Health and Human Services that payments for Borrego Health Medi-Cal services will be suspended September 29. Here are the issues the organization has faced over the past 2 years. October 20, 2020, state and federal agents raid the offices of Borrego Health, Borrego Springs, California, dash, based federally qualified health center. Dozens of agents seize computers and medical records and interview employees at three Borrego Health locations. Agents also search the headquarters of Premier Healthcare Management, which provides billing and other management services to Borrego Health. The raids come months after the Borrego Sun published a series of articles scrutinizing Borrego Health's medical services, management practices, governance structure and business practices. The reports found that more than 220 employees at the organization are paid more than $100,000 per year and that it paid its former CEO, Bruce Hibbetts, who died of cancer, a $1.9 million retirement gift. December 9, 2020, California temporarily suspends all state Medicaid payments to Borrego Health amid investigations into the health center conducted by the State Department of Justice's Division of Medi-Cal Fraud and Elder Abuse. June 15, 2021, Borrego Health makes several changes to its leadership team in a sustainability push. A new leadership team is named, and undisclosed number of roles are eliminated and a significant number of administrative positions not directly related to patient care are realigned. Borrego Health also closes its assisted living facility and transfers operations of its child care center to another organization. December 7, 2021, Borrego Health announces the closures of two of its clinics, the layoffs of 113 employees, 8% of the center's workforce, and the outsourcing of its in-house billing department. It says the closures are necessary after its landlord canceled the leases for the two facilities. May 25, 2021, Borrego Health announces it is reducing the size of its administrative team, the closure of its consolidated call center, the creation of a centralized leadership team and the layoffs of 218 workers. Affected employees include nurses, phlebotomists, dental staff members and members of the management team. August 8, 2022, the Borrego Community Health Care Foundation sues several past board members, executives and contractors over allegations of racketeering, fraud, nepotism, excessive compensation and self-dealing. The lawsuit filed in San Diego federal court accuses dozens of officials and contractors of stealing millions of dollars. August 19, 2022, the California Department of Health Care Services tells Borrego Health it is suspending all Medi-Cal payments for continued and unresolved inappropriate billings. Regulators agreed to reinstate reimbursements for medical services in early 2021, but not for dental work, which remains the focus of a criminal investigation. The reinstatement comes after Borrego Health agreed to an independent monitor and other conditions. State health officials say they will withdraw all reimbursements by September 29 because of Borrego Health's alleged failure to meet its settlement obligations. September 12, 2022, the Borrego Community Health Foundation files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but says it will keep its clinics open. Borrego says the filing will prevent the Medi-Cal payment suspension from taking effect. Borrego also says it will work to resolve state and federal investigations during the bankruptcy. Line of underscores. Why are you still covering up this ugly truth for a dead doctor? Web, link, http://dr.eric-tomedy-shigino.fuckeduphuman.net. Yes. Yes. Gulp. Yes. You heard that correctly. SOS/vitals.com-reviews/#HIV-untreatable. #BigmanKillingTechBug. #AscentConspiracyExposedTerminatusASAP. #ConspiracyExposedTerminalsNo. Web, link, https://pubmed.nlm.nih.gov/3,366,656. Linguistic analysis of online communication about a novel persecutory belief system, gang stalking, mixed methods study, and Rulastig et al. JMed Internet Res. 2021. This email has a spoken voice audio media narration available at 17 minutes, web, link, http://rachel-lee-griffin.name-binded.reality.life, yes. Yes. Gulp. Yes. You heard that correctly. /FBI.gov/300-4420-6441/DharmasGriffin-Fermoon-Justevictions-UnjustTermsOCialServicesAndCaseManagement.ogg. This audio narrative extends to this added content. Web, link, http://rachel-lee-griffin.name-binded.reality.life, yes. Yes. Gulp. Yes. You heard that correctly. /FBI.gov/300-4420-6441/DharmasGriffin-Fermoon-Justevictions-UnjustTermsOCialServicesAndCaseManagement-WithBar2.ogg. Reaching back for someone to stand up and not allow all of civil society to sweep this under the rug and move on as I die from not having rights to adequate standards of care in Hive care. My doctors and social services and housing have all conspired against me in the deprivation of my rights under a color of law or custom to remain silent as gang stalking has destroyed my life over and over and over. Started and first noticed in 2005, the following paragraph appears as fact not fiction from the National Institutes of Health Library on the first paper published on the 6th of April 2020 when Dr. Eric Shigino died on 10th of April. He more likely died by suicide rather than admitting his errors and wrongdoing that has occurred against me at Borrego Health and beyond. Web, link, https://www.nkb.nlm.nih.gov/pmc/articles/pmc717813/The Phenomenology of Group Stalking, Gang, Stalking, a content analysis of subjective experiences. Lorraine Sheridan, David V. James, and Jaden Roth. Additional article information. Abstract epidemiological data suggest that as many as 0.66% of adult women and 0.17% of adult men in the Western world may suffer the subjective experience of being group-stalked, gang-stalked at some point in their lives. Yet the gang-stalking experience has been subject to little scientific study. This paper reports an attempt to elicit the core phenomena involved in gang-stalking by allowing them to emerge de novo through the qualitative analysis of accounts of individuals who describe being gang-stalked. 50 descriptions of gang-stalking that satisfied study inclusion criteria were identified from the internet and subjected to content analysis. 20-4 core phenomena were elicited, together with 11 principal sigli of the experience of being gang-stalked. The phenomenology of group stalking, gang-stalking, a content analysis of subjective experiences. Lorraine Sheridan, David V. James, and Jaden Roth. Additional article information. Abstract epidemiological data suggest that as many as 0.66% of adult women and 0.17% of adult men in the Western world may suffer the subjective experience of being group-stalked, gang-stalked at some point in their lives. Yet the gang-stalking experience has been subject to little scientific study. This paper reports an attempt to elicit the core phenomena involved in gang-stalking by allowing them to emerge de novo through the qualitative analysis of accounts of individuals who describe being gang-stalked. 50 descriptions of gang-stalking that satisfied study inclusion criteria were identified from the internet and subjected to content analysis. 20-4 core phenomena were elicited, together with 11 principal sigli of the experience of being gang-stalked. These were then divided into groups, producing a framework for the phenomena of the gang-stalking experience. The results were compared with frequencies of the same categories of experience then extracted from the original data of the only previous study on gang-stalking phenomena. Whilst the methodology of the current study was more rigorous, the core phenomena were similar in each. The current study confirmed the seriousness of the sigli of the gang-stalking experience. These support the need for further exploration of the phenomenon, for which this study forms a basis. Keywords: phenomenology, stalking, gang-stalking, group stalking, prevalence, psychological sigli 1. Introduction. Stalking denotes a pattern of repeated, unwanted intrusion by one person into the life of another in a manner that causes distress, disruption, or fear. 1, 2. The concept of stalking was introduced in the late 1980s to describe a form of interpersonal aggression that, although common through the ages, had come to be socially unacceptable in the Western world after the recognition of equal rights for women and the prosecution of domestic violence. To that extent, stalking is a social construct that arose in a particular social and cultural context. 3. Since the turn of the millennium, another term linked to stalking has gained currency in the media and on the World Wide Web, that of group or gang stalking. Stalking generally involves a single stalker who may occasionally recruit others into stalking by proxy, their involvement usually being unwitting. 4. By contrast, reports of group or gang-stalking describe stalking by multiple individuals who engage in a shared endeavor with a group purpose. For research purposes, the number is taken as 3 or more, although in many instances those suffering from the phenomenon have reported the involvement of far greater numbers. 5. Being stalked by individuals is a relatively common experience in the Western world. The prevalence in different studies varies according to the definition used, the methodology employed, and the population or sub-population sampled. But even the most conservative estimates suggest that 8% of women and 2% of men are stalked at some point in their lives. 6, 7, and other studies from a range of Western countries have found rates that were twice as high, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.13, 14.15. By contrast, indications as to the prevalence of gang-stalking experiences are few in number. In an anonymous questionnaire that was completed online by 1040 self-defined adult victims of stalking, 5.12.3% of respondents reported group or gang-stalking. A U.S. Department of Justice prevalence study, which used a tight definition of stalking that required the victim to experience fear, found that 6.8% reported stalking by three or more people, and were unable to identify a single offender or could not identify an offender who was singularly responsible, 16. The U.S. study also examined cases where the behavioral part of their definition of stalking was satisfied, but not the fear component. When these cases were added to those defined as stalking, the total figure for those reporting an inability to identify a single offender or offender who was singularly responsible was 12.5%, 17, which is similar to that found in the questionnaire study. The gang-stalking phenomenon would thus appear to be relatively common. Yet, we could find only one empirical study of group or gang-stalking in the published literature. 5. By contrast, a Google search for gang-stalking, conducted on the 5th of February 2020 produced 7,550,000 hits. Stalking by individuals has been found to result in high rates both of psychological distress and lasting psychiatric morbidity, in particular post-traumatic symptomatology and depression, 1.4, 10.18, 19.20. The one study to examine the psychological sequelae of the experience of being gang-stalked found that individuals who had been group or gang-stalked scored significantly higher on ratings of depressive symptoms, post-traumatic symptomatology and adverse impact on social and occupational functioning than those who were individually stalked. 5. The only other published study of gang-stalking samples that we could locate detailed four cases reported by the media of men who had engaged in extreme violence as a response to the perception that they were the target of gang stalkers, 21. Both Sheridan and James, 5, and Sarteshi, 21, concluded that the subjects of their studies were suffering or had suffered from severe psychological distress in the context of their subjective gang-stalking experiences. Despite the experience of gang-stalking being so widely reported and the evidence of its harmful effects on individuals and on society at large, there is a dearth of research into its nature and into the components that constitute the experience. Sheridan and James' study, 5, appears to be the only one to have investigated this central feature of this subject. The main aim of the study was to identify the phenomena that constitute the subjective experience of gang stalking, free from assumptions based on the cases of those stalked by individuals. A second aim was to allow the emergence of the psychological and behavioral sequelae of gang stalking deemed most worthy of reporting by those describing their gang-stalking experiences, and which therefore were likely to be the most concerning to them. A subsidiary aim was to establish whether the experiences of the group selected for this study differed from those of the sample acquired by Sheridan and James, 5, from a questionnaire survey, or whether the two were part of the same phenomenon. 2. Method. The study involved a mixed qualitative and quantitative design using content analysis with a sample of self-published accounts of gang-stalking extracted from the internet. This research was approved by the Human Research Ethics Committee of Curtin University, RDHS-79-16. 3. Results 3.1. Length of stalking. None of the writers of the narratives described their experiences as having ended. All 50 authors stated or implied that they had been gang-stalked for lengthy periods of time. For example, one mentioned being seen by 7 psychologists during the period of being targeted, another described having been targeted whilst living in 3 different countries. The shortest case was described as having begun in the last few months and the longest as continuing for more than 22 years. 3.2. Reasons for the gang-stalking. Stalking the narratives were examined to establish whether the perceived reasons for being targeted by gang stalkers could be identified. Reasons were found in 20 of the 50 accounts. In all 20 cases, no named person was believed to be targeting the victim. Representative examples of the reasons given for the gang dash stalking were as follows. Why? To drive people to meet dash up groups or a psychiatrist so they can be medicated and slash or get more federal grants for more mental health instead of training a real police force. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a big seller in the area. It is a brainwashing military experiment. Post 9/11, they isolate certain people to stop them acting against government. It is part of an overt agenda to create and test mind control. They are creating weaponry tested on us. Line of underscores.